Support for KPCW is provided by Sundance Institute, a nonprofit organization. Sundance Film Festival is proud to call Utah home with screenings January 21st through the 31st in Park City, Salt Lake City, and Ogden. The festival's home state is as important to our identity as our filmmakers. Find out what's next as film lovers from across the world come to Utah to celebrate the power of story. For more information, visit sundance.org/festival.
Live radio.
We are broadcasting the Sundance Reel live from Whole Foods today. And we're here with Josh Fox, the director and screenwriter of How to Let Go of the World and Love All the Things Climate Can't Change. Josh Fox is best known as the writer and director of Gasland and Gasland Part 2. Gasland was nominated for the 2011 Academy Award for Best Documentary Feature and won the 2011 Emmy Award for Outstanding Directing for Nonfiction Programming and the 2010 Sundance Film Festival Special Jury Prize. So, Josh, thanks so much for joining us today.
Thanks for having me.
So why don't we start by taking a minute to talk about your new film. Give us an overview.
Oh, and wow, just
yeah.
a whole overview
just
of the film.
Just well, a 30-second overview.
Okay, sure.
We may have some other questions.
Yeah.
How to Let Go of the World and Love All the Things Climate Can't Change is really the third film in this Gasland trilogy of movies, although it's a separate film all on its own. It begins with me recounting some of the fight against fracking that I've been going through for the last 8 years in my backyard, our hometown in Pennsylvania, in the Delaware River Basin, which is the watershed for 16 million people. But realizing that even though we've actually been doing really well beating the fracking industry, we've banned fracking in New York State, we've banned fracking in the Delaware River Basin, we've banned fracking all over the world at different places, France, parts of Australia, parts of Colorado. I mean, the list goes on and on and on of the victories of this amazing movement. I realized that although we could beat the frackers in our own backyard, we might lose everything we love to climate change. And not just everything in my own area, but everything in all over the world, that no one is exempt from climate change, and that we're facing really extreme circumstances and conditions as we go forward as a human race, from sea level rise, which threatens to wipe out our coastal cities and make them uninhabitable, especially along the east coast of the United States,
right.
To severe droughts, severe floods, tornadoes, weather, the
loss of biodiversity.
And that's the one that hurts me the most. When you're looking at the projections for climate change, we are already at 1 degree of warming right now. We've warmed the Earth by 1 degree. That's been enough to get everything on the planet to start melting, and that's been enough to wreak havoc on our weather systems and really destroy a lot of our grain harvests and all the different things, infectious diseases on the rise. You know, we could go through a horror list of what's going to happen with climate change that could take up the rest of this program.
Right, and that's a daunting thought.
Incredibly daunting. So the film, I kind of walk in thinking, all right, well, let's investigate this and quickly find out that this is a very, very dire picture, and it's very, very late in the game to even start to talk about this because of all of the obstruction and denialism and prevention of science that's basically on behalf of the fossil fuel industry. We are in a situation where it's way too late, actually, to prevent many of the most negative and difficult consequences of climate change. So the film kind of hits a brick wall at like 100 miles an hour in the middle of it, and I kind of quit and resolved to find all of the things that climate can't change, all of the things that climate won't destroy. And that takes me on a journey across the world to 6 continents, 12 countries, to the Amazon, to China, to Australia, to the South Pacific, to Iceland, all across America. And, you know, that is an incredible journey meeting people who are the most resilient and inspiring and just, you know, like some of the most amazing examples of human virtue that I've ever witnessed in my life. So the movie is an emotional roller coaster ride going through the depths of despair and then coming out the other side with something that you can hold on to. And those are these civic virtues and civic values. The things that climate can't change are love, democracy, human rights, resilience, right. courage. And in each of these places, we find those examples. And I think at this late date in our climate history. We're going to need to base our society on things that are different than what it's based on now. Our society right now is based on greed and competition and, in many ways, violence. We need to base our world on, you know, these other kind of sustainable virtues, community, generosity, love, peace, nonviolence, civil disobedience, organizing. Because if we are going to start winning the battle against climate change, we need those things. And if we are going to lose some of these battles against climate change, we're going to need those things even more.
So how did you select these places that you visited? Was it based on the community and the culture, or was it based on the science? Like, okay, they're seeing sea level rise in this, you know, small island nation. I'm heading there.
Well, the film starts in New York City with Hurricane Sandy. Because as I, in my own backyard, started to realize that we're losing all of our hemlock forests. And that is the keystone species of the forests of the East. And just in the same way as you guys are suffering incredible damage to the pine forests in the West, right?
Here, yeah.
And you know, I realized that was a huge wake-up call. And New York City got the wake-up call next, you know, this hurricane that drowned New Yorkers inside of our own houses. Shocking. And, you know, there's no one exempt from climate change, right? So you could go anywhere in the world. But I think that, you know, we wanted to make sure we went to places that were going to be an incredible diversity of locations and places. And see the Amazon, you know, where there are oil drilling going on at the headwaters of the Amazon, the Peruvian Amazon in Ecuador. We wanted to work with the islands in the South Pacific. There's an incredible organization called the Pacific Climate Warriors, and they are warriors, affiliation of people from 12 different island nations, who at one point blockaded the port of Newcastle in Australia, the world's largest coal export facility.
Wow.
And they're blockading ships that are the size of the Empire State Building with hand-carved canoes. Mm-hmm. I mean, so this is truly a battle scene.
It's a very David and Goliath image.
And it worked. They stopped 578,000 tons of coal that day. So, you know, we're talking about finding the places where these battles are occurring on the ground and watching and meeting the people who have no choice. I think in many ways in America, we think of this climate change as some kind of abstract, well, maybe I'll deal with it later, or, you know, I'm not going to miss my kids' Thursday night soccer game, you know. But we have to start to think that way. We have to give an hour or two a week if we're going to start to talk about how we're going to survive this, and how we're going to withstand this, and how we're going to turn back. And that's what I found with people working on fracking, you know, people working in the fracking movement. And that, in many ways, led me down the path of the places that I was going to go. You know, those are some of the most devout, passionate activists in the world right now, and we're calling upon them. In fact, we're going to take this movie and tour it to all over the world, but first to 100 cities in the United States. Right after Sundance, we're going to Moab, we're going to Vernal, we're going probably to a place called Porter Ranch where there's a huge gas explosion happening. And we're going to tour this film to all these hot spots across America where we're fighting pipelines and fighting power plants and fighting compressor stations. And people can support that tour at our Kickstarter, which is bit.ly/let go and love. It's called the Let Go and Love Tour. So that's a Kickstarter, and I think it's on the front page of the movie page right now. It just launched yesterday, so that's bit.ly/letgoandlove.
Fantastic.
So it's the Let Go and Love Tour. And so, and that's going to bring the film to these communities that are fighting the fossil fuel industry tooth and nail, and also places where we know sea level rise will damage significantly some of those major cities along the East Coast and along the West Coast, and the Gulf Coast, too.
You know, Nell and I host an environmental show. He's environmental scientist, environmental engineer, and we've been doing this for almost 9 years, and we've seen changes here in Utah too. Utah is the home of the fossil fuel, many different types of fossil. It's coal, oil, natural gas that's extracted here. In fact, all of our energy comes within. It's one of the few states where all of our energy comes from inside the state. It's really interesting, but we've seen a real change in social activism here too. Whether it's with respect to air quality or water quality issues and land preservation. So that's since we've been here. I've been here since 07 or so. So you must have seen changes, too, since 2010 in Gasland. You talk about the successes with fracking, but other environmental advocacy movements around this country, around the globe too. Yeah. So that's a hopeful aspect.
It's the only thing that is hopeful.
Right.
I have to mention that we have a hometown hero here who is now an international figure on climate, is Tim DeChristopher, who was arrested trying to blockade an oil and gas auction for an illegal oil and gas auction. Mm-hmm. It was ruled illegal in Utah, where the Bush cronies were trying to give away all these parcels of land to oil and gas, and he stood up and disrupted that auction. He went to prison for 2 years. And he's in our film, and we go visit the places in Utah that he protected. Unbelievable red rock country, you know, the kind of beautiful thing that you think of when you think about Utah.
They're still at risk,
of course.
They're still in play. Let's put it
that way. So Tim DeChristopher says wonderful and amazing things in this film. And, you know, the Gasnet films and this film, it's really my journey of discovery in all this. I was not an environmentalist. I didn't know. Oh, I mean, at heart I was, but I wasn't active on these issues. But it really is an emotional journey that, you know, I go through as we discover how this works. And the film opens with us winning, you know, in,
right,
against Brackett, and literally a victory dance, you know, and then realizing that that is just a tiny fraction of the puzzle. But, you know, again, what do I try to draw strength from? It's really watching people who have this incredible sense of resilience and this incredible sense of responsibility and love. Not only for the planet, right, which is this big abstract thing, pretty hard to think of, and even, you know, but for their immediate surroundings, for their friends, for their families, for their communities, and that in the end becomes the thing that we do have to be inspired by. And of course, yes, victories are happening.
Right.
We won against the Keystone XL pipeline. We won in all these different fracking battles across the earth. You know, but we're winning a lot against coal. But is it enough? Is it too late? We don't know the answer to the question. What we do know, though, is that we win every day when we invest in a sense of civic virtue. We win every day when we let go of the world of greed and competition. We win every day when we start looking at how we can be kind and generous to our fellow man and fellow woman, and embrace those values and those virtues, and enter that other form of civic participation in other society that exists along those principles, which is happening right now across the world.
But at the same time, it's a daily effort.
Absolutely.
You know, because there are lots of wins, mm-hmm, but there's a lot more challenges. And it's a daily thing.
I see it that way, because to try to say, oh, well, a movie's going to save the world, or that's kind of crazy.
Or there's an end game to this.
Or anything like that. The world is lost and saved every day,
right,
not all at once. And that means it is a daily practice, and it is a daily responsibility, and that's what, you know, I mean, that's the fun of it, too. You know what I mean? To be honest, like, when I started this, when the frackers came to my backyard, I never felt more alone in my life. And now I can go anywhere in the world and intersect with people who are working on this. And that, they're not working on it for money. They're not working on it for glory. Working on it for each other. And that means you're part of something that we don't often think about so much in 2016 in America, which is community. And so I urge people to come out, see the movie, get inspired by it, and then go the next step. When at our screenings, people will be able to sign up for renewable energy. People will be able to sign up for their local groups, local grassroots groups. And that's a big part of this Let Go and Love tour, is to go to places where we can help supply information about how whole communities can go renewable. So again, the Kickstarter is bit.ly/letgoandlove. And that's going to bring the film across. And that's part of our distribution strategy. We toured with Gasnet to 350 cities in America. That took 8 years. This one will do 100 cities over the course of this year. Of course, it will be on HBO as well, and probably like in the summertime. But all the way until then, from now until then, we're going to be touring around America. And we want to show the film and see you, you know, in your town situation, which is what Sundance is at the bottom of it all, right?
Right.
It's just a bunch of community screenings here.
And you're also going to be starting with a screening for some of the local nonprofits here in town. I know that's happening in Salt Lake City.
We have 8 screenings here at Sundance. That's amazing.
That is a huge number of screenings.
It is. It's amazing. We have 5 on the schedule, and then we have, I think, 2 community screenings and 1 for high school kids, which I'm really excited about, you know.
Okay.
So we have one like every day, and there is a website, which is howtoletgomovie.com.
Oh, okay.
How to Let Go Movie, and that's where there is a schedule there, and the trailer is there as well.
So we have a few more minutes before we have to move on. I would love to know if there is a particular story that resonated with you. I'm sure many of them did, but if there's one that you can share with us right now.
Well, out of the most difficult moment of the film where I encounter Michael Mann, the incredible Nobel Prize winning climate scientist, who talks about how when he talks about climate change, he talks about the four horsemen of the apocalypse, because they're all going to find a role in the climate, war, pestilence, death. I mean, I can't even remember what all the four of them are. But from that moment of apocalyptic kind of revelation, we end up in the Amazon, which is like going straight to the Garden of Eden, the most biodiverse place on the planet, and meet with these indigenous environmental monitors who spend all their time, they're not paid, investigating oil spills that are in the middle of the Amazon, deep into the jungle, and they do this just because they want to get the story out.
Wow.
So we were invited by Amazon Watch and said, you know, will you be some reporters to come along with us? Mm-hmm. And we said, sure, absolutely. And we trekked 12 kilometers, and we had to go one day in and one day out. So 12 kilometers in, so you got to get up at 4 o'clock in the morning, get in these canoes, paddle in through this incredible mystery. And, you know, everything in the Amazon just can kill you. You can't lean on a tree. Weeks after I came home, I wouldn't lean on anything because red ants just run up your arm. Right. And, but it's also the most astounding place. And then you get there, and you've trekked, you canoe for 4 hours and walking through this incredible underwater soaked trail up, waist-high water, and then another trail for another mile and a half, and then you get there and you see this, you know, thousands and thousands of gallons of oil in the water, poisoning the fish of the local communities. You know, the Amazon River has 3,000 species of fish, more species of fish in the Amazon River Basin than in the whole oceans. And then you get there and you see these people who are being forced now to eat canned tuna, and because they have their resource base has been poisoned by the oil industry. But just to meet the resilience of these people, the courage of these people. Latin America is the most dangerous place on earth to be an environmentalist right now. There are hundreds of people just murdered.
Right.
And so these guys going out every day, paddling 5-6 hours to get to these spills, 40-year-old pipelines that are not maintained, and spill and break and rupture. And at that point, it's not even a spill. It's criminal negligence. A spill is when you do something accidentally, if I were to knock my coffee off this table.
And right then now. It gets...
And this is an honor.
A permanent state of criminal negligence. And so we went with them to try to boost their story. And so those are the kinds of examples. Again, the Pacific Climate Warriors, where we battle it out on the in the channel, hundreds of meters from shore. When you watch people in hand-carved canoes that are no bigger than your dining room table up against a coal ship that's the size of the Empire State Building, this is true bravery. This is true, there's no words to describe it. You have to come watch it. And so these are the kinds of scenes that are in the film that are, it's not a documentary where you're sitting around watching a lot of talking heads.
Right.
It's not that kind of a film. This is a film where you're really on the front lines. And we think of it as an action-adventure movie, which it is.
Well, it's interesting you mentioned the Amazon, because our next interview is at the documentary When Two Worlds Collide.
I love that movie, and people should see that one too.
Okay.
Put it on the list.
Which is about the environmental issues going on in Peru, et cetera. So that's a great example, and a nice segue.
Too. Awesome. Yes.
Thanks for
totally
that,
Josh. Plan,
I was happy to run into them here in the lobby.
Oh, yeah. Well, it's a really fascinating work. We look forward to getting a chance to see it, and it's going to be, how many places are you going to be showing?
Well, tomorrow we're at Temple, 5:45. The day after that, I think...
Egyptian Theater.
Egyptian at 8:30 in the morning, coming out for that one.
Oh, boy.
And then we're in Park City. Salt Lake City.
And the Mark, and then down in Salt Lake City, and then some other screenings.
I think the community screenings are harder to find, but I'm sure they're on the Sundance website somewhere.
Yes.
But our website, again, is howtoletgomovie.com, and do check out the Kickstarter campaign so we can bring the film across America. Again, that website's bit.ly/letgoandlovetour or Let Go and Love.
Perfect.
Fantastic. Thank you. Thanks for joining us, Josh.
Thanks, Josh.
All right, thank you.
Lots of luck. We'll be in touch. All right. Let's take a break. We'll take a break for a couple of underwriters and sponsors. And when we come back, we'll be speaking to the directors of the documentary, another environmental doc, When Two Worlds Collide. You're listening to KPCW and the Sundance Reel. We'll be right back.
Mark Miller Subaru is proud to sponsor the Sundance Reel on KPCW, an independent film at Park City Film Series. Mark Miller Subaru supports the community through our nonprofit partnerships and helps protect the environment with our green initiatives. Located on South State Street in Salt Lake City and Southtown in Sandy, offering a wide selection of new 2016 Subaru and pre-owned vehicles. Love the experience at markmillersubaru.com.